Ivano Del Pio. Risotto requires a good stock to be a good risotto.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't make a powdered stock and expect your risotto to be anything but powdered risotto.
Correct. So my mother would be absolutely mortified if I was to do that. She'd come down and treat me properly, you know.
Now tell me, how do you make yourself a good stock?
Well, and usually with the risotto, I'd use a chicken stock, and it depends on the mood. So if you want it to be a lighter chicken stock or a dark, heavy chicken stock, it would result in you either putting in a raw chicken into the water or something that's been well caramelized in the oven first and then thrown in. The typical ingredients of onion and celery that's been fried to make a sofrito. Maybe a bit of garlic if you want that in there. We put bay leaves and whole peppercorns, tomato, even some whole tomatoes would go in. And of course the chicken, and the chicken's really important that it's a good chicken. So an old boiler is the best way to go. And Mum would, you know, put, in the old days would lop her head off and in she goes. But but some butchers actually have got some great organic boilers around that you can get quite cheaply and throw them in, and they've got a lot of flavour. Like the meat's really tough at the end, but there's a lot of flavour hidden inside that meat.
So you simmer that very gently for the 3 or 4 or 10 hours you want to do with that?
We actually do it overnight. So we,
oh, that's so good, isn't it? The whole house smells of chicken
soup. Absolutely. The next morning, yeah, totally and utterly. Any cold that you may have brewing is chased away just by the smell. You know, the old Jewish penicillin that is chicken stock, chicken broth.
Okay, now a base risotto,
yes,
which is really, you know, onion and olive oil and the rice and the stock. Mm. You can kind of add anything too, can't you?
Yeah, exactly right. But Mum would only add one other ingredient to it. Like it'd either be peas or some silver beet or maybe some meat in there, maybe, but it's usually a vegetable, maybe a mushroom. And when risottos became a thing in restaurants, you know, I would see 6, 7 different pieces of different things inside it. I was going, what are you doing? Like, that's not how you do a risotto. But now, yeah, I've sort of fallen into that as well.
Okay.
You know, me overcomplicating all my cooking. I'm very conscious of keeping it as simple as possible.
Now, what are your tips for getting that base part right? Because anyone can add whatever flavours they like, but getting that base part right, what are your tips?
Yeah, well, getting the right rice is really important. Mm-hmm. Cannaroli is perhaps the king of the risotto rice. There's obviously the arborio, which everyone's very familiar with, and there's the vialone nano as well. But the cannaroli is perhaps the best one, and it needs to be a rice that contains a lot of starch so it absorbs the stock and the starch comes out. And making a nice sofrito, so the onion, as you mentioned, you may want to put another herb in there, like a sage or a rosemary or a thyme.
Yep.
And cook that down. Maybe add a bit of a wine, whether it's white or red, depending on what what meat you're going to use with it, if you are going to use a meat. But I generally use a white wine and get that completely reduced down and then put the rice in for a bit of a toasting.
I was told that you had to kind of fry the rice with oil and get all the rice coated with oil. Is that important?
Oh, very important. Yeah. And they call that the tostatura. Once the rice is toasted and covered in oil.
Yep.
And then you're right to add the stock. Now, Mum always said that if you look after the risotto, it will look after you. So you have to keep stirring it and keep adding it. However, when I was on the chef's line, the executive chef there, Alessandro Pavoni, lovely, lovely guy and just an amazing chef, he suggests that you just leave the rice covered in stock and just for about 12 minutes, and you would maybe add a little bit of stock if it got a bit too low. So don't touch the rice. Just shake it only lightly if you have to, just to make sure it doesn't stick on the bottom, but leave it for about 12 minutes or so. And then you can add your other elements to it, whether it's the meat, etc. And once again, leave it for a bit longer. And then you, at the very end, let it sit for a minute and then add the butter and the cheese. And that's when you beat it and get the creaminess at the very, very end.
Right.
And I've tried that since and it works beautifully. It's just magic.
Really? You don't have to give it love the whole time?
Not the whole time, no.
You can just let it sort of sit and simmer away.
Absolutely.
So you actually cover it with a fair bit of stock then?
Yeah, a bit of, like, you know, a wide pan with a bit of a wide side to it.
Yeah. Um,
And just so that the stock covers the rice, because you do want it, you do want a bit of moisture in there. So once you start beating it, there is creaminess, but you also want to get a bit of a wave effect with the rice. It shouldn't be too solid at the end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And quite often you see that in restaurants. But those who do know how to make a risotto, traditionally it needs to have the alonda, the wave action at the very end. So it is quite... It is quite...
And it's going to have butter at the end as well.
A load of butter, yeah, cold butter. Yeah, yeah, don't be shy with the butter. Don't be shy with the parmesan at all. There's this magic that happens at the end with the starch and the butter and the parmesan where it all just sits beautifully together.